Bible, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 11 with me this morning, please. Matthew chapter number 11, the Gospel of Matthew, Levi the publican. This is Levi. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight. Lord, I pray now that you'd anoint this messenger. Give me unction, Father. Give me what I need to preach your word this morning. And by all means, may we glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. His holy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. As you know, this Thursday's Thanksgiving, and as I've said so many times before, it's one of the finest days of the year. I love Thanksgiving. Boy, it's absolutely, without question, its roots are deep into Christianity, into Christ and our faith. Matthew 11, verse number 25, the Lord Jesus Christ is giving thanks, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. If you look at the context of this, look at chapter 12 and verse number 14, Matthew 12, verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. So now the Pharisees had come to an official position on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter number 12 and verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So now this is their message to the people, that he is demon-possessed, and they have rejected him. Look at chapter 12, verse 31. The Lord Jesus Christ confronts them with this statement. Wherefore I say to you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven to men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now what you have here is a progression. They have rejected the light, they've rejected the Messiah, they've rejected the truth of the Word of God. And now the Lord says to them, what's left for you? You're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to turn him off, to turn to darkness from the light. And so what happens in his grace? Look at chapter 13, verse 3. In chapter number 13, verse number 3, the scripture says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now compare that with Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 25. You have revealed these things to babes and hidden them from the wise and from the prudent. The Lord is telling you that if you ever believe upon him and know him, it'll be from the heart, not the mind. Amen. You don't search God with the mind. Canst thou by searching find out God? No, you can't. Amen. We don't even know his substance. We don't know his essence. We know he's a spirit being. But who in the world knows the essence of a spirit? Check into it sometime. Nobody knows. The nearest we know is the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. The Bible said he came to reveal the Father to us, and that's exactly what he has done. The Lord thanked the Father, said, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank thee. Now think about it for a moment. He is thanking God the Father for the simple fact that men by searching cannot find out God, and that men by intellect and by science will never find him out. This is not to say that they won't say there is a God, for creation shows you there is a God. But what we're talking about today is knowing him, to know him personally, to know him in salvation. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, I thank thee. The first Thanksgiving was in 16 and 20. And we know the story of the pilgrims. We've heard it many, many times before. And I'll be talking about that in just a moment. But first, I want to talk about Sir Walter Raleigh. How many's ever heard of this man? Sir Walter Raleigh. He was an Englishman. He was an explorer. He was the kind who would reach out, do this and that. And in 1585, he planted a colony here in the United States on what's called Roanoke Island. He wanted for England to get its foothold in the new country, into the new world. Didn't last. 1586, he came back. And when they came back, Nobody was left alive. All they could find were the bones of those that had been there. So in 1586, he planted another colony on Roanoke Island of 118 people. This 118 were Englishmen. They were going to establish a colony in the New World. Of course, Spain and the rest of them were fighting for possession of this land. Turned into a bloody dogfight for this New World. But anyway, 118 souls were placed there on Roanoke Island. A little girl was born. Her name was Virginia Dare. And she was the first Englishman that was ever born on American soil, Virginia Dare. If you go now to the state of North Carolina, you'll find that the capital of North Carolina is called Raleigh, named after Sir Walter Raleigh. You'll also find that on Roanoke Island, they've got Virginia Dare Road. They've got all the recognition of what went on there. They're very proud of the ancestry of the fact that Great Britain had come over here and had planted some people. Grandfather to Virginia Dare, went back to England. He went back to England because they were having problems. They needed food. They needed a lot of things. And so he went back, and he was going to come back. He was the grandfather of Virginia Dare. He's going to come back to Roanoke Island, and he was going to bring this with him. When he got over there, he ran into a little problem of the Spanish Armada. They were attacking England. You remember the Spanish Armada? You remember that? That was a big deal back in those days. So it slowed him down. But he eventually came back to Roanoke Island. When he came back, what he found was horrifying. It was terrible. Not one single soul of the 118 that had been left there at Roanoke Island could be found. Not a one. Not a single one of them. His granddaughter included, Virginia Dare, could not be found anywhere. And to this very day, nobody knows what happened to those people that were left on Roanoke Island. The reason I mentioned that was in 1587. Years later, in 1620, the Pilgrims land at Plymouth Rock. Now, these are Englishmen. These are separatists. They came essentially from the same place that the Puritan came from, but there is a difference. And these Pilgrims came in 1620 from Holland, where they'd been for a while. And they were coming for religious freedom. They were coming so they could raise their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And there, after a year, after the horrible winter that they endured, where half of their number died, perished, gathered around them all these graves of their mothers and their fathers, and husbands and wives and sons and daughters, they gathered together with the Indians and had the first Thanksgiving. They thanked God for what He had done, how His sovereignty, His grace had brought them to that point. There was an Indian whose name was Squanto. Squanto had been taken back in the 1500s to England and sold into slavery. Oh yeah, that's quite a way to treat someone, right? This Indian was sold into slavery, but he escaped. He escaped and went into England. And while he was in England, he learned the English language. And eventually Squanto came back into the New World. And he came back with the English. And he came back armed with the fact that he could speak the Indians' language and he could speak English. So here we have a person that is bilingual. And did you know what? God used him. Because Squanto was the liaison, he was the voice of the Pilgrims to the Indians, but he was also the voice of the Indians to the Pilgrims. It's quite remarkable how that somebody that was sold into slavery came back with such a good heart, a heart of thanksgiving, that he wanted to help these people. Kind of reminds you of Joseph, right? Because he was sold into slavery. Amen. But he still loved his people. He loved his brethren. And he loved the children of Israel. And so it was with Squanto that he taught the Pilgrims how to plant maize, which we call corn. He taught them how to fish. He taught them many of the things that they needed to survive and get along in this new world that was different from the world they came from. And God blessed them. And he continued to bless them.
them. And Abraham Lincoln declared a day of thanksgiving for Almighty God, that we might stop and thank Him for what He's done for us. Amen. I hear people talking about Turkey Day, and I'm sure you've heard about Turkey Day. That's okay. If the only thing it is Turkey Day to them, they're telling you what they think about this coming Thursday. It's not Turkey Day, it's Thanksgiving Day. Amen. I thank God today for His goodness and what He's done to me. So if it's just Turkey Day to you, fine. But I would advise you this. Find out what it really means. It's more than filling your belly with turkey. Amen. There's a whole lot more going on besides that. But there's nothing that reveals the true nature of an individual. I've learned this. I firmly believe this. There is nothing that reveals your true nature as thankfulness does. Thankfulness. Not ability, not intellect, not devotion, but thankfulness. Because a thankful heart is a humble heart. And a humble heart has power with God. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the veins to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The heart, my dear friend, a heart of gratitude and a heart of love and a heart of thankfulness. I'll tell you this Thursday, I'll bow my head and I'll thank God for a lot of things. He's been good to me. That attitude of thankfulness, it affects everything about your life. It affects the way you react with each other. It affects the way you read the Word. It affects the way you pray. And it has a great deal to do with your walk with God. If you have that heart of thankfulness, that attitude of thankfulness, my dear friend, let me tell you something. It'll humble you. For you know the source of your food. You know who put food on your table. Somebody said one out, preacher, I work for a living and my hands have worked hard to produce what I have. Who gave you your hands? Amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Lift up your head from the trough that the pig feeds from, and lift up your head on high, from whence cometh our salvation. It is the Lord that feeds us. It is God that puts clothes on our back. And that's the one who went to the cross at Calvary and died that we might be saved. 10 lepers in the Bible are healed, but only one returns to give thanks to God. That says a lot about the human heart. I mean, it says an awful lot about us. 10 people were healed, but only one would stop and come back. And he was a Samaritan, half-breed Jew. Cast out of the life of Israel, had no part, and yet he came back, and the Lord understood that, because he understands that the outcast, the peripheral, the marginalized, that's not part of the mainstream. It seems to me like that New Testament says that the prostitute and the drunkard and the thief will go into the kingdom of God before the Pharisee and before the religious and before the Sadducee and the scribes and the rest of them. Why do they go into that? Because they admit who they are and what they are. That's one of the greatest things in our relationship with God. Who am I really? And have you ever asked yourself this question? Have I ever really looked at myself? What am I? Who am I? What real strengths and weaknesses do I have? Don't make excuses and cover them up and hide them as Achan did in his tent. But what are you made of? Do you really know? Have you ever really? I know my weaknesses. Believe me, if you got a week, I can tell you all about them. I've got plenty of them. I sure have. God doesn't use perfect people. No, He'll never be able to use anybody perfect. He uses sinners. The Bible said, to whom much is forgiven, the same loveth much. If you've had a pile of sins that God's forgiven you for, you've got a great love for the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes, you have. I saw a sign this past week. It said, I started with nothing and I still have most of it. Let that settle in for a moment. That's pretty good. That's clever. That's clever. But it's also humorous. It shows you that person is saying, I thank God I can work. Amen. I'm not rich, but the Lord's been good to me. I started with nothing, and so did I. Nothing. What do we have that we didn't receive of the Lord? talking about it today. What do you have that you didn't receive of the Lord? Oh, we ought to be in a thankful attitude. If anybody should, we should be. Amen. No boasting. My boasting is in Christ. To know Him and to know Him rightly is to know salvation. Know thyself. And what kind of person are you? Let's go to the list here. A shallow, emotionally driven person. Is that the kind of person you are? Shallow and emotionally driven? No real root. You just fly. You're just like the wind blowing. Well, something's happening over here. Well, I got to go over there. Something's happening. I got to go over there. And there's something over here. I got to go over there. And you're just from here to there and here and there. And you got no root. Because why, preacher? Because you make no relationship with the other people around you. This is what makes us strong. When we bear one another's burdens, we lift each other up in prayer. We become a real body of Christ in this place instead of just a bunch of pilgrims floating here and floating there. The sad thing is, there's a lot of them. Are you an envious, covetous person? Do you want what everybody else has? Think about what you've already got. And ask God to bless what you have and who you are. Are you a very insecure Diotrephes? To whose Diotrephes? He's the one who loved to have the preeminence. You mark it down. Anybody that is constantly trying to rule over people and run your life and push and force, that is an insecure person. Because that person thinks they've got to prove something to themselves constantly doing that. I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen, folks. I learned a long time ago, you can't beat sheep into submission. You got to lead them. You got to feed them. You know what the Lord said to Peter? He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Peter said, yea, Lord, you know I love you. He said, well, go ahead and start a university. He said, go build a big building. He said, go out and create a great work. What did he tell Peter? Feed my sheep. That takes preeminence. If you're born of the Spirit of God, tall, search you out men who have studied the Word of God, who are able to teach others also. This is where we fail so much, is in the teaching arm of the church. Teaching is what roots you and grounds you and establishes you in the faith. Here's nothing to be proud of when you say you're ignorant. Amen. Amen. One said, there's nothing to be proud of. Study to show yourself approved to God. And then there, of course, is the first class hypocrite. You ever met one of them? Don't know any preacher. Well, you'd be surprised. Then there's the know-it-all, arrogant, unteachable. I'll tell you right now, I sit around and I read stuff and I hunger for things. I hunger for knowledge. Sometimes it burns me up, but I have to know what's under that rock. What's behind that door? Why is this thing ticking? Where did this come from? That's just the way I'm wired. Are you like that? Young people, don't ever lose it. Keep that in your heart. You want to learn. Learn more. And the more you learn, the more you can learn. You've got to learn math before you can learn algebra. That's the way it is. You've got to build a foundation. And then on that, learn, learn, learn. Study, study, study. And God will bless your soul for it. Then there are those that you hardly hear anything about. The unsung of the church. Who are they are the prayer warriors. They're the ones who call upon the name of the Lord. They're the ones who call your name out at night and you don't even know it. Because nobody's broadcasting it. No super saint. No super this or super that. But just good, faithful saints of God that know the value of prayer. They see God answer prayer. Have you got somebody praying for? I'd rather have somebody praying for me any day of the week than to hand me money. Or blow me up to my face. You know, I had much rather have you praying for me. And then I pray for you. And we call out the name of the Lord. Amen. Are you a generous soul? Do you give the shirt off of your back someone? We have generous souls like this. Are you? Are you a restorer? What is that? Mentioned in Galatians 6. You put people and wives and families and husbands and children back together again. It's awful easy to take a club and a crowbar and tear down what it took years to build. Are you a destroyer or are you a builder? Are you a peacemaker or are you a troublemaker? Which one is it? If you're a troublemaker and a destroyer, this Thursday doesn't mean anything to you. The only thing that matters to you is you got it in your hands and you're going to make it happen. You're going to use personality. You're going to use talent and ability. It's been said by a wise man that talent, personality, and ability will get you to the top, but only character will keep you there. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Do you like to hide behind things? Hide behind people? Hide behind this, that, everything under the sun? A lot of people spend all their life hiding behind so-and-so. Hiding, hiding, hiding. Did you know that when Saul, the king, they came to get him and anoint him as the king of Israel, you know what they did? They had to hunt for him. He was hidden with the stuff. You know that? Hiding. Don't hide behind your sickness. Don't hide behind your problems. Don't hide behind people. Come to the Lord. Come before him. And let me tell you something. You don't have to say a word. Just come before him. Just lay yourself out and spread yourself before God. Do you think God has to hear words to communicate with your heart? He doesn't have to hear a word. He knows the thought and the intent of the heart. And I like that too anyway. Amen. Are you one miserable person today? Good, let me tell you something. Well, preacher, I'll tell you what. No, don't tell me anything. I'm happy. I'm blessed. I'm still ticking 7 years after all this started. Look at how God's blessed us. Has he blessed us? Yes, he's blessed us. This is the work of God. This is God's hand. I'm just a messenger. Folks, that's all I am. A long time ago, I realized I had a big mouth. My big mouth got me into all kinds of trouble. You wouldn't believe how my big mouth got me in trouble. And God sat up there in heaven and he said, "Now, Michael, one day I'm going to save Big Mouth. And Big Mouth is going to preach my word." And he reached down in 1973 and he saved me. And he said, "Now, Big Mouth, start preaching the word of God." And I'm so happy I can. I'm so glad, I am so glad, I am so glad, I am so glad. You know where he found me? He found me in a pit. He found me in a waste, howling wilderness. He found me lost without God. I was that sheep on a mountainside. I had no hope. I had no idea where I was or where I was coming from. I was lost as lost can be. I believe there was a man upstairs. I believe there was a supreme being, but I didn't know him. You hear that from everybody. Let me tell you who the man upstairs is. Let me tell you who the supreme being is. His name is Jesus. Yes, amen. Giving him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, I love that name. Jesus, I love that name. I love him, I love him, and I love him, and I love him. He's the one that gets me up in the morning, puts me to bed at night, feeds me, clothes me, moves in my spirit and in my soul. And if every living moment and breathing moment that I live in this world, I'm going to use it to glorify his holy name. There's no name like the name of Jesus. You ever notice the spirit that comes among a congregation of people? You get some proud, arrogant know-it-all up here, and first thing you know, it gets quiet and dead. And people wonder what happened. But you let somebody begin to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said in John 16 about the Holy Ghost. What did he say about him? When the Holy Ghost comes, what will he do? He'll glorify me. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He'll glorify the Son of God. If you'll let him glorify Christ, then if you'll let him bless the name of Christ. Say, what do you want to bless his name? Because he's blessed me. I cursed it enough. Lord, have mercy, did I ever take his name in vain. God, be great. Be merciful to me. But in 1973, the curses stopped and the blessings started. Amen, they did. He's blessed me. If you've been blessed and you know you've been blessed, happy are you. Anybody in here been blessed? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All I'd, every once in a while, I just get out and I drive around. And I look up under the bridges. And I look at the tents. And I look at the poor old people on the road. They got sleeping on the street. I don't look down at them. No, I don't look down at them. I think to myself, by the grace of God, that's where I'd be.
Because that's all I was good for. I'd be there by the grace of God. God's good to me. Now, maybe I can give that one a little drink, water, give them something to eat, help them with a hand up. That's my attitude toward it. I'm not so much really worried about why they're there. There's 1,000 different reasons why you can be homeless and destitute. Believe me, there is. I've lived long enough. Good people have things happen to them. Preacher got up one time in a church. I've told you this before, been some time. He got up. He was the pastor of that church. He got up. He went and got a woman by the hand and led her out the door, and they were gone. And his poor wife was sitting right there and watched him do it. She couldn't handle it. She went out onto the streets. They said that for the rest of her life, she just went from place to place to place to place. Driven. She could never get over it. Never get over it. So don't be so quick to judge people. Leave that to the only one who can. This Thanksgiving, there's a thing here in Knoxville. It's called the Empty Stocking Fund. How many's ever heard of it? Sure you have. You've lived here any time, you know about it. When I was 12, 13 years old, I'd go with my grandfather and we'd go to the Jacobs Building and we'd stand in line. That was a long line, and we'd stand there and we'd finally get down to the bottom and they'd give us a box. Box had food in it. And my brother and I, we were given an opportunity to pick out some little toy. We'd pick up something to play. But I'll never forget the kindness that was shown to me when I was just a boy. And I try my dead level best to support the Empty Stocking Fund every year in thankfulness for what somebody else did for me. There's a hospital out there in Memphis, Tennessee. It's called St. Jude's. Started by Roman Catholic. Wasn't started by Baptist. Started by Roman Catholic. He wanted to see those little kids healed. Yeah, he did. And if you can watch those commercials of St. Jude and it not bother you, there's something wrong. I can't stand it. So I have to help them. Have to help the little babies, little children. St. Jude. That's a secular organization, preacher. The kids aren't secular, they're kids. God loves them. Amen. Cancer's not secular. God loves them. You know one of the reasons I do this? Because I know how I was raised. I know what it is to be. I know what it is. And I say, Lord, you've given to me, I'm going to give. I'm thankful. And God's blessed me, and I want to give. I want to help. Father, in your holy name, bless this word. Use what I've said. Lord, I'm just a fallible human being. God, I come short. I fail. I miss. And if there's anything ever good that's been you've ever used me for, you've done it in spite of me. You've been good to me, Lord. I want them to get that. I want them to understand that it's not me that's bragging. It's you. It's what you can do for them too, what you've done for me. I pray for them. I pray for any soul in this house that needs to move in your heart. Dear friend, why don't you come down here this morning and talk to the Lord? Are you a miserable person? Are you miserable? They say misery loves company. That may be true. Are you miserable? Why don't you open your pocketbook up and give it and help some hungry child? Just start there. And talk to the Lord. Just come and lay down before Him. You don't have to say anything. He knows your heart. You kidding? You think a bunch of words are going to make a difference with God? What's in your heart? He'll try the reins. This is a good time to start thinking about it. Good time. It's a good time. Give back what God's given to you. Give to someone. God will definitely bless you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.